From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armia, Spain.
This is your Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk about words that are living, dead, and undead. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Well, hello, you two. Today, the day this episode is being released, is the Day of the Dead. Dia de los Muertos? I also hear it as Dia de Muertos.
Sí.
I don't know. What?
Well, I think here it's Los Muertos.
Yeah.
Because it's huge in Spain.
Is it?
Yeah. Big. But I mean, here it's not like a dressing up like it is in Mexico. It's you go to the cemetery and decorate graves and talk about your dead relatives.
Oh, okay.
It's very serious here.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, with that in mind, we are, I guess, going to look at some related words. We did some Halloween words last week, some Day of the Dead words. How do you say words in Spanish?
Palabras.
Palabras. Yes. Palabras de Día de los Muertos.
Muy bien. Muy bien, Fletcher. Well, we're starting.
We're starting with a word for dead humans. Mummy.
Oh.
It's interesting because
around a word for mother.
In England, yeah. Yeah, I never thought. But it's interesting because around this time, around Halloween time, I always watch the various mummy movies and of course, the first classic, which is just wonderful. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the word from mummy is derived from which, we're going to give you a little quick test, Fletcher. We'll see if you're dead to lexicography. Mm. The mummy is derived from one, asphalt, two, the word for embalming, three, the word for dead flesh.
Ooh, the word in what? In what language? Just a word somewhere in some language?
Well, where are mummies from? What was the first they're from all over the world, but
we associate them with Egypt.
Right. So we could probably guess that it might come from an Arabic word.
All right.
But we're going to go backwards a little bit because the Arabic word may have derived probably from the Persian word. And we're going to look now at the actual Persian original word. Now, this is very technical, but of course, Fletcher, you're right on top of these things.
Yeah, that helps me quite a lot, but you're going to have to remind me of all of my options. I remember the embalming one because that's the obvious one. What are the other two?
Asphalt, embalming, dead flesh.
Then the answer is either embalming or asphalt. Why would you give me asphalt? You guys are clever by now. Well, I mean, you've always been clever, but you know how I work. So you could have thrown that one in to trick me because I might choose it because it makes no sense whatsoever.
Ross, we should have thrown in barley, too.
Let's go with that, though. Let's go with asphalt. Why? I have no idea. It's probably because it's made up. Tell me.
Okay, actually, you're right.
Okay.
It does come from asphalt. Weird. Now, Kath, you want to tell Fletcher why?
It came from the medieval Latin mumia, which is perhaps from the Greek mumia, yeah. Or directly from the Arabic mumia.
Not to be technical here, the Arabic is mumia.
Mumia. Okay, I'm sorry. From the Persian mumia, asphalt, which came from mum, wax.
Yes. What the Egyptians did, I'm not sure, Kathy, you remember, we lived in Egypt for a while when my dad was with the embassy. And the Egyptian would cover mummies with wax. And particularly in the late period of Egyptian history, they used a bit of asphalt with it. And the bodies would get black, dark black. Do you remember seeing Ramses in the museum, Kathy, or not?
I do, very clearly, Ross.
It looked like our grandfather lying. It was weird.
Yeah, he did, because he had the high cheekbones and the thin cheeks, yeah.
Yeah, and the hooked nose.
Well, he wasn't very chunky.
I've seen pictures of maybe exactly that. And, you know, we always think of mummies, of course, all wrapped up and everything. And I remember thinking, why do they look like that? That's bizarre. And now I know, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, partly. The other thing, though, is also in the desert itself, the desert really is, you didn't really need the wax, it turns out, after all, to preserve bodies in most cases. Hmm. The desert is so dry in Egypt that the body literally mummifies on its own.
Oh, wow.
Petrified wood. I just remember the
stuff that's
petrified on its own. Yeah,
I forgot that. Yeah, the petrified wood. I forgot that. We still have some outside. I brought some back from Egypt, actually. We were little kids. But anyway, that's the origin of mumia, mummy.
But the key is, though, Ross, you didn't ask about asphalt versus bitumen.
Ah, this is a really... I had no idea of this one. Okay, they mentioned...
But I'm sure Fletcher does, because we discussed cement a while back.
Well, they mentioned mumia was given to hydrocarbons, including bitumen was given to by Roman writers, hydrocarbons like asphalt and petroleum. And bitumen, Latin, means asphalt or mineral pitch. Now, then Kathy brought up, what's the difference between bitumen and asphalt? That's something I often
pondered. Because I'm a scientific turn of mind. <I know. laughs> So, Fletcher, do you know the difference?
No.
Think back on our discussion of cement and concrete. This is really interesting for some bizarre reason.
Okay. It must be mixed with something else, something that's not like tar or whatever. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe whatever gets mixed with the tar is different.
You got the idea. Bitumen is the liquid binder. Yeah, bitumen is the liquid binder. Oh. Asphalt basically is what would be concrete.
Asphalt is this concrete. Right, yeah. No, wait a second.
Is it backwards? Oh, no, we haven't learned it yet.
But concrete is the one that's got cement in it, right?
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, asphalt is concrete, in effect. It's
cement is the powder, concrete is the composite.
Right.
Right. So bitumen, asphalt's the composite that has bitumen in it. And then mummies also had bitumen or asphalt on them. That's it.
Yeah.
End of story, okay?
One final little thing. The weirdest thing was mummies, I think we mostly know it, used to be actually sold medicinally. They used to powder them, and you could use them for medicine.
Oh yeah,
and that's really bizarre. They would get executed criminals, mummify them, and then sell the powder, the mummy powder.
Didn't they also use it in paint? Mummy? Didn't they use powdered mummy in paint?
Yeah,
I thought so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, let's move along from that.
So the mummy issue is dead now.
Or can we revive it, a la reviving dead flesh?
I should have said it's wrapped up. Excuse me.
That's good. Yeah.
Go on now, Ross. Let's revive it.
But let's unwrap it and let's talk about the living dead in terms of words, which is getting really a really bad segue. Anyway, last time we talked about Frankenwords, which remember?
Yeah. Really horrible portmanteaus, right?
Well, the technical definition of Frankenword really is just portmanteau. Uh-huh. And I think we decided basically that Frankenword should be probably exclusively used for bad, evil portmanteaus.
Right.
Monstrous portmanteaus.
As opposed to brunch or motel.
Right, which are good portmanteaus. Mm-hmm. They're not monstrous.
Correct.
So what we did is we got a list of portmanteaus that are either appearing in the news or capriciously that just came up. And we thought we would discuss them in a quick way. What do they mean? To see if you know. What's the combination of the word? And what's your opinion? And for that matter, our opinion. Is it a Franken word or not?
And last week we mentioned bleisure and bizcation, right? Which are,
which are definitely Franken words.
Words.
I agree. Don't know. I love them.
Bleisure is fabulous. I know.
Business and leisure, just for people who didn't hear.
So shall we? Mm-hmm. Are we ready?
Yes.
To weigh in? Franken word or not? The first word is flexitarian.
Flexitarian. I've never heard this. I'm going to guess this is somebody who can adjust the food that they're willing to eat at different times. They're flexible about what they're willing to eat.
Wow.
Interesting.
This is a really interesting word for both of Kathy and me. I put it up. Kathy had no idea. I thought everyone knew it.
Oh.
And my wife, Sylvia, is like a culinary historian, so there are all these food people around all the time. And I thought it was a really common word. And it was interesting that neither you nor Kathy knew the word instantly.
Never heard it in my life.
I mean, that was so weird to me.
Hmm.
Yeah, but Fletcher, you basically got it. It's a flexible, in this case, really, it's a vegetarian, a flexible vegetarian.
Okay.
It's a vegetarian who sometimes eats meat. And oddly enough, the other week I was looking at an article on, we have a lot of Dutch people in the family. And apparently like 40% of Dutch people in the Netherlands consider themselves flexitarians.
Hmm.
So if we don't know it here, it's certainly common in the Netherlands.
I had never heard it. It's been around for a long time, too.
Yeah.
It's a little vague as to when it started, but it basically started in the 90s.
Okay.
Some say it was in 1998. Some say it was in 1992. But somebody, the U.S. News said it was 2009 because it was a book called The Flexitarian Diet. But the bottom line is apparently it's out there. I have never run across it in my life.
Yeah.
And I still haven't. Now that we have it in here, I still haven't seen it.
Before we go on, I have a question for both of you. Do you guys know, have you ever heard pescatarian?
Sure. Yeah, I've heard that.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then what about a fruitarian?
Except wait, what is a pescatarian a vegetarian who will also eat fish? Just won't.
Yes.
It is. Okay.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then what's a fruitarian? Have you heard that?
Yeah, it's those people who only eat fruit.
What?
Yeah, have you heard it though? I mean,
there's people who only eat fruit. I mean, I don't mean to.
Oh yeah, it's a big thing on TikTok. It's a huge thing on TikTok.
Actually, Fletcher, you're a big movie guy. Have you seen Notting Hill with Hugh Grant?
Sure. Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay. Do you remember he has a bad date, and she's a fruitarian.
Oh, really? No, I don't remember that at all. Okay.
And she only eats things that fall, she says, you know, that naturally fall.
Uh-huh.
It talks about murdering lettuce leaves or something like that. So, okay, that's interesting, though. It's really interesting that with flexitarian and me, not with flexitarian. But we're going to move on to another word that Kathy instantly knew that I had never heard of in my life. So we're going back the other way, which shows this. Oh, what we have to weigh in is flexitarian good or bad as a Franken? Is it a Franken word or not? I think it's fine.
I mean, if we're going to allow all of the other Itarian words, then yeah, sure, it's fine. It's no worse than most of any of the other ones. And I'm definitely not making a judgment about anybody's eating habits. I'm just talking about the words that get very specific.
quick. No, it's fine.
it is. Of
Eat
course.
What you want.
Yes, absolutely. It seems fine. Somebody's a flexitarian, they're primarily vegetarian, and occasionally they'll eat meat, maybe if that's the only option, they can be a little flexible.
Yeah, okay. I don't love it, to be honest with you. I would prefer it not be around, but it's okay.
I like it.
I don't
I
know
think
why
it's a good
I don't
word.
Like. I don't care for it particularly, but I'll allow it.
The next word, I didn't know what it meant, and when I found out what it meant, I decided I'm not going to allow this, but I'm sure. Okay, I'm going to say the word, ask Fletcher, and then let Kathy expound on this because she has a lot of expounding to do. Okay, the word is jorts.
Jorts. Oh yeah, sure. Jean shorts.
Oh gosh, you guys both knew it. No.
But have you heard of jeggings? Do you know jeggings? I know
yes,
you do, Kathy.
Yes,
the two of you know it. Yes.
I hate the word jorts. I absolutely, the first time I heard it, I just detest it. It's like they're shorts, okay? I wear cutoffs almost all year here, and I call them cutoffs or shorts. I never say, oh, jorts. I better wash my jorts. I hate it. I just hate it.
It's a horrible word. The jean shorts are fine, whatever, but do people use the word jorts seriously, though? It seems like
in conversation,
yeah, it seems like the kind of word that everybody knows is a terrible word. I mean really,
that's an interesting. I usually see it written in a fashion piece, like,
okay,
saying like, you know, here's like, you know, wear your jorts longer this year or something. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say it. I think you're right. Have you
actually? I'm just reading it right here. The word jorts is often used to humorously or derisively refer to unfashionable denim shorts worn by men. While the words cutoffs and Daisy Dukes, have you heard Daisy Dukes, Kath? Refer to more popular. I haven't heard that either.
I disagree, though. I see, because I see jorts all the time referring to women's stuff. And jeggings, certainly.
Jeggings,
I mean, the Gap has like they're, you know, jagging is one of their and I shop on this thing called Vinted. It's like an online thrift store, and one of the categories is jaggings.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna weigh in on this before you guys go on, if you like it or not. I don't like either word. Jorts and jegging, I do not like.
It's funny. I think just because of the way they sound, jorts seems way worse to me than jeggings. I mean, jeggings.
Yes,
sound
I agree
great.
With you.
Jean leggings basically are what jeggings are. Just so that people know. Jeggings bothers me less than jorts, which just sounds like a joke word. Honestly, jorts.
I hate them both.
I do too.
I really do. And jorts was the first. I would have thought jegging was the first.
Oh, yeah. No, jegging.
Because jegging sounds a little more legitimate. Like, using that term loosely.
But that stretchy jegging thing came later.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
And I sort of like jegging. I mean, I have them. I wear the jegging jeans a lot of times now.
No, Ross, you do not. Trust me, you do not wear jeggings. You don't.
I wear these stretchable Gap jeans.
Yeah. You wear stretchy jeans. That's
They're
different.
Not jegging?
That's
okay.
Not a jegging.
Okay.
Oh, no. I mean, if you wore jeggings, I would not speak to you anymore.
Okay, we're going
to
get on. I don't like the word. I didn't know the word until a couple days ago, so I'm going to leave it. I think we all can agree both are... we're going to call them Frankenwords. Monstrous.
Yeah. One slightly less monstrous in my eyes, but.
That's fair. Not to be snarky. The word snark. Where does it come from?
Yeah. Where does it come from? Snark comes from a long time ago. I don't mean like many centuries, but snark is like from, who's the poet? Nash or Lewis Carroll.
Ogden Nash?
Yeah. Or Lewis Carroll. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's from Lewis Carroll.
But that's not the mod. There is a modern snark.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nonsense word. And he wrote a poem called The Hunting of the Snark.
Right. Lewis Carroll. Yeah.
And it was supposed to be something that's elusive.
Yeah. Okay. Snark now, it's a portmanteau, though?
Well, it could be considered snide and remark.
Oh, remark. Okay. Just to jump ahead, but I don't mind the word at all. It's very useful right now.
I agree with that too. I'm very much pro the word.
I am too. I'm also pro snark.
Yes.
When appropriate.
When appropriate, that's right. Don't overdo it, people.
But apparently, though, it's apparently a back formation. It was originally the word was snarky, and then, I mean, you know, the same meaning and all that, but then it became snark in that sense. And in a way, that makes me wonder about remark being a back thing. I don't know. That's what they're saying here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. They're not quite sure.
No.
Is it one of those words that maybe people just started using and it didn't necessarily have something obvious that created that word? I mean, like, we make up words all the time. Maybe snarky was just people being that way, and we tried to figure out an etymology for it.
I think that's a really good point, Fletcher. That's sort of what I would think, too, because that does get me when they confidently say it's a back formation. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But now, okay, the OED does not say it's a back formation, but they don't say anything, really. They say that it was probably formed by conversion or by clipping snarky. And then, but they don't, so they don't tell you. They're just saying it is.
It is, but if they mention clipping snarky, that would make me, you don't
that
say.
That was the second one, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
but you don't
one
say
of
remark-y.
The possibilities.
It's all, yeah, but it is like, you know, snide and remarky. It's a combination of. I know,
no,
you're right.
I agree. No, I agree with you. Or sarcastic, because now in British you say sarky.
Oh, do you?
Ooh,
somebody's being sarky.
Really?
That's really interesting.
I didn't know that. I've never
somebody's
heard that.
Sarky.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that makes that says a lot, I think, then.
Mm-hmm.
Because snarky is an easy jump from sarky.
It is, completely. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so we're saying we don't know if it's a Franken word to begin with, and B, we don't think it is a Franken word. In terms of monstrous.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Perfect.
The next word is another one that I wasn't really aware of, is slacktivism or slacktivist.
Oh, okay. This is not the first time I've heard this, but I haven't heard it a lot. Is a slacktivist somebody who, I guess, maybe fancies themselves an activist but doesn't really do much of anything besides post online?
Exactly.
Yeah, a slacker activist.
First used in 1995.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to weigh in on this one before we, I mean, jump into it. I think this is a really useful word, actually, because it does fit a lot of people who do stuff like that. I think it actually, you know, I mean, you could say uncommitted activism, or I don't know, but I think it really gives me a feel.
Yeah, it's got a little bit, it's a little bit negative, which is different from like an uncommitted activist, you know, a slacktivist. It's like, really, what are you doing besides posting?
Yeah.
They say that you're conspicuously showing support, but you're not taking any real steps to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I do think it should be negative, because it's really someone who's going, look at me, I really feel strongly about this, you know, as I sit here with my glass of wine.
Yeah, I can think of several politicians who are clearly slacktivists, but we won't go there.
Yeah.
But I think also it used to be armchair. People used to say armchair. Didn't they say armchair supporters or things like that? I.e. you're sitting down supporting. I vaguely recall that being used. I don't hear it that much anymore. I think slacktivist is a good word.
Yeah, I mean, it has a use, I think. I don't think I see it that much, but it the way we're talking about it now, it seems like it has, you know, it's useful in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, too. I like it, actually. Armchair quarterback, I've heard.
Yeah. Armchair quarterback, that's it. I've heard that.
Yeah.
That's clearly me. I'm like definitely an armchair quarterback. Why did you do that? I know we're watching the World Series. I'm always like, I'm an armchair pitcher too. You shouldn't have done that, or armchair batter as well. But we're going to quickly go to Kathy. Will read off a bunch. Dog portmanteaus. I think these are literally Frankenbreeds. I mean, they're mashed up. Some of them are useful, like, you know, golden doodle for poodle, retriever.
Uh-huh.
Kathy, do you want to just read them quickly? I don't think we're going to really weigh on these.
No, labradoodle, Labrador retriever, and standard poodle. Cockapoo, cocker spaniel poodle. Puggle, pug beagle. Jack Wawa. I love that, Jack Wawa.
Wow.
Jack Russell and Chihuahua.
Wow.
Pug Zoo. Pug and Shih Tzu. Shih Tzu and a Jack Russell is a Jack She. And a
That's
Schnauzer
dangerous.
Scotty is a Schnotty. Sorry. And then they have a Jaffa Norkie, which is a Jack Russell, Affenpinscher, and Norfolk and Yorkie. A Dorgie, which is a Dachshund and a Corgi. And a Schnoodle, which is a Schnauzer and a Poodle. I think they're all hysterical.
I have heard my son talk about like one of those, like I think a Labradoodle or something.
Uh-huh.
Or and there had a bunch of dog people. I went to the dog park and all these people were talking about stuff. And we don't have a dog, but I did hear a couple of these being used actually. Kind of like normal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a, you know, that's a whatever. I think it was a golden doodle or something.
Yeah, those the golden doodles and the labradoodles are very, very popular.
Yeah, so
and
I guess
cockapoo I've heard and puggle.
I think Jack Shu is like a not a good
yeah,
one.
That one seems like somebody knew what they were doing there.
Yeah, no, I kind of like Jack Wawa, but because it's just sort of fun to say.
I don't think those. I don't know. I've never heard them. The next one, though, is an interesting one. I didn't know this, and we've got them all over Toronto, but, Kath, you didn't know it either. Sharo. Do you know what that is?
Sharo?
Sharrow.
Oh, is this, no, I've never heard this before, but is this like the arrows with the little bicycle on it that tell you that the cars and the bicycles are sharing the road?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I never heard it in my life.
No, me neither.
I didn't either.
Yeah, no, I've never heard it. No, I've seen them.
Yeah, and that's not uncommon.
Yeah.
No, and it's a blend of the verb share plus arrow, coined by Oliver Gajda of the City and County of San Francisco Bicycle Program, 2004. I've never heard it, but I mean, you know, we drive over them, we bicycle over them all the time. It's so walk over them, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a weird one.
I guess I don't really have a problem with the word, especially considering I've never heard it. It's not like it's out there bothering me all the time. The concept is great. let's share the road.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a useful word in that sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I like it. I just never heard it. And I suspect I never will hear it again. I think I'm just going to refer to the arrow on the road with the bicycle.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, how often do we talk about that anyway? I guess maybe people who are involved in city planning might talk about them.
Oh, I don't know, because it's a big thing here because they're getting rid of some bike lanes. They're doing some shared bike lanes. People are always talking about it.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's what's interesting to me because I keep hearing it and reading it. I'm against them. I'm for them. I'm for bikes being here. I'm not. I think we should separate bikes from, you know, from the traffic, etc. But I've never heard. That's why it really surprised me, because it's a huge current thing going on in Toronto.
But you never hear
this.
The word. Yeah, interesting.
I never have heard the word, huh. No.
The next word is romantasy. R-O-M-A-N-T-A-S-Y.
Yeah, I want to say you brought this up once before, and I think I figured it out then, too. So I think this must be a book that blends romance and fantasy as genres.
Yep. It's the big thing in publishing right now. Huge.
Fascinating. I'm wondering why it's only now so huge. It seems like something that would really be very attractive to people and would have been for a long time. I'm curious why it's only exploded now.
It started exploding in the 2020s. I mean, it's been around for a while. And they think, though, it was mainly like BookTok and other social media that really, because during the pandemic in particular, you had the BookTokers take off, and romantasy was a really big thing for writers who were self-publishing.
Mm. Yeah.
Because a lot of times they started out with fan fiction and stuff. So it just became the thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're going to go to a word that I think instantly, I don't even need to ask you if this is a Franken word. Mm-hmm. This is horrible. The word is phablet. P-H-A-B-L-E-T. Phablet.
A phablet? Is this like a tablet you can make phone calls on?
You got it. It's a phone and a tablet. It came out in the early 2010s.
I mean,
the
what's...
word.
What? But... isn't that most phones now?
Yeah, this is a fossil Franken word. Uh-huh. It was a bad idea back then. But it was basically when tablets had gotten a little bit, it was like, you know, they got a little bit bigger and you could start doing it. It was amazing. And the word came out of the 2010s and it quickly fell into disuse, I think. But people trot it out as like, I think it's like along the lines of, you know, the bizcation. It's one of the worst portmanteaus.
I like, there's something about, Randy, my husband had a phablet when I think about it, because it was a small tablet.
I wonder who.
But we called it a tablet.
I wonder who coined that word. I mean, it's just like, you could just see some, you know, jerk at some advertising agent.
Some
Let's call it a brand manager.
I know. Right? I suspect said person didn't keep his job either.
Speaking of those really bad ones, this one really, I just got to throw this in right now. Do you remember Burger King when they had a campaign about like special fries? Do you know what they called it?
Oh, no.
It was a crinkle cut fry. They called it Satis fries.
Oh, wow. Satis
fries. Isn't that awful?
Although, come on. That's like, I think that's, I mean, if I were the copywriter, I would have come up with that.
I remember at the time looking on my phablet, I saw Satis fries.
I like it. But I like bad puns. So, you know, there. This word is one I have strong feelings about. The word is bromance.
Oh,
B-R-O-M-A-N-C-E.
Yeah. Is this word used all that much anymore? This was really big, like with some, say, and this some of these are actually pretty good, but say with like some Paul Rudd, Jason Segel, Seth Rogen comedies in the, around,
yeah,
between 2005
exactly right.
and 2012, right?
yeah.
sort of a buddy. I mean, they're basically like two guys get to know each other as actual people type movies, right?
Yeah. It's interesting, though. It actually apparently came either from skateboard culture or the first verified use was in Trans World Surf magazine from 1999.
Huh, okay.
And then I guess it was probably picked up from either skateboarding and surfing into film, etc.
Yeah. Bro romance, obviously.
Yeah.
Kathy, you have strong feelings. What are your strong feelings?
I never cared for it. I'm putting it nicely. I hate it, mm-hmm. actually. I understand what they're saying. They're saying it's a close relationship. It's an affectionate relationship. It's not just like punching you in the arm. It's like you really know one another. And I could see where that would start at surfing or skateboarding, actually, because you're hanging out. You're like, good work. You know, like you really nailed that, whatever. You really shot the curl. I don't know. But I don't like it.
I don't know, though. I'm not really sure it's very useful, actually. I don't know. I mean, because I have close male friends. And then I don't think I would say I'm in a bromance with them, because it has like a slightly, to me, it has a, I know it says non-sexual friendship, but I don't quite understand what the difference is between a close friend and an acquaintance.
Well, I don't like it either. I wouldn't use it either. I think it's more useful, if we're going to use it at all, as a genre description. Even at that, it's pretty reductive. But if it's going to exist, it's more useful in that way. Yeah.
Well, in a way, it's like a buddy movie, you could say.
A buddy movie, or a bromance movie.
I think it's more emotional than a buddy movie,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's also about maybe two men finding some sort of personal growth together. Right. Again, like I said, it's really reductive.
Yeah,
I agree. Well, remember they had a big thing that you should go on bro dates.
Yeah.
I mean, for a while they tried that. And I thought, this is dumb. It's like you just want to hang out with the friend. Yeah. OK, fine. It's not a freaking date.
No, that one got me. That got me because I had a best friend in New York, and we used to go out and have a beer or have dinner or whatever. And I didn't think of it as like a bro date or any of that. It was like my buddy. We're going out talking about old times.
Okay. I just think
the whole, to me, that whole concept just gets a little bit, I don't know. It just doesn't really, I don't think it's a useful term.
Yeah.
In that sense, I don't think it's ugly. I'm not going to call it a Frank word because it's ugly. I'm going to call it a Franken word because I don't find it particularly useful. And the distinction, we're all making these like real subtle distinctions that I don't think really need to be made. That's my feeling on that.
Yeah. Just toss the word.
I agree. I think it smacks to me of somebody like marketing writing or something like that.
Yes.
You know what
I
mean?
It does.
Yeah.
It doesn't satisfy my...
I love it. I just love that. Sorry.
Okay, the next word, Fletcher, is a word that I'm sure you've never heard in your life, manspreading.
Oh, goodness gracious. No, thank you. I don't, is this really a portmanteau? It sounds like two words jammed up together, just man and spreading.
That's a very interesting point. You just brought it up. I was looking at those words, and I had that same thought.
But I guess it could be a Franken word if we don't make a Franken word necessarily a portmanteau. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
That's fine. We can All right. It can be a Franken word. It is a word that has a very good use and hopefully invites shame upon whoever's doing it. Manspreading, of course, is when men sit and take up way too much room in whatever chair they're sitting in, often by spreading their legs way too far out.
Mm-hmm. I used to hate it on the subway.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. The subway, which we don't have here where I live, so it's maybe doesn't come into play quite as much, although people still do it like when they sit down and are just obnoxious, right?
But it was a big thing. And in fact, the MTA in New York City were the big popularizers of it because people were manspreading on the subway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I think it's a valuable word and I think it's a bad practice.
I love it.
So yeah, I think it's very good.
Right.
I agree. I used to shame. I was one of those, excuse me, people. Excuse me.
I know. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Apropos of that, though, what about manscaping, guys? Yeah. Okay. How do you feel about manscaping?
I do not like this word. I do not like the word.
So this is sort of like landscaping your hairy parts.
Yes.
Actually, your entire body at this point.
Depending. Although I think that's hasn't the zeitgeist moved away from totally hairless people by now?
I don't know.
I hope so.
I'm not in that area right now to even talk about it.
This is, I would guess, a way for hygiene type companies to sell you more things.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I agree. Yeah.
Although, oddly enough, in defense of the word, and I don't do manscaping, I'm not interested in the term, it does say what it does.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, like, you know, grooming or body hair trimming, you know, I mean, I can't really, like, what else do you say? To some degree, I have to give this word its due in the sense that I don't like it, but it does explain, I mean, it does
say it succinctly. You're right, actually, because other times you have to say,
yeah, grooming. I mean, you say manscaping, I instantly know what you're talking about. So right. I don't really want to talk
and I
about
picture
other.
It. Ah! Yeah.
I don't want to picture it. I don't really care what other people do, but I do think the word, to some degree, is maybe we could turn a new term, useful Frankenwords, or something like that.
I don't like it, but I respect it.
Yes, exactly.
That's it. That's perfect.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas, by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.